Hey, welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, every one of you, for serving all over the region. Aren't you thrilled to be a part of a church that literally is being the hands and feet of Jesus around our world? Come on, man. It's an honor to be a part of that, to serve people. So grateful. We want to welcome everybody today. And Michelle and I are so thrilled to be back from vacation. And it's good to be back with you. Michelle will not be here this weekend. She's bummed. But she was with someone very in a car for a while that has COVID. And so she's fine, but she felt like it was the responsible thing to do not to expose any of you. So she is home right now. Honey, I love you, miss you. And she's thrilled to be back, but sorry she can't be here with us today. But anyway, we're just grateful to be back. We love you guys so much. We really do. We're honored to be back and just love this church. And we want to welcome, of course, our campuses, Newcastle, the Meadville campuses. We love you. Those watching online, would you welcome them with us today from the Cranberry campus? We love you guys so much. Grateful to be a part. One church, multiple locations. Today I want to talk to you about something that's just burning in my heart as a pastor. And as the Bible calls different people for different conditions, fathers to others in the faith. And I want to talk to you from that perspective today. The title of the message is simply this: Deception, the language of Satan. Deception, the language of Satan. And the thing about deception is you don't know, you're deceived. And I want to help you today as somebody who prays for you and seeks God for you, as there is a deception that is pervasive, that's clouding God's people today. And it's my hope to help you today to walk free from that deception and the devices that surround it. You know, spiritual fathers are few. The Bible said we have 10,000 instructors, but not many fathers. And a spiritual father doesn't mean like you're some kind of holy person. It simply means this: you're old, number one. And yeah, okay, then that's special. But the other one is you just have to have a lot of spiritual children. And when you're a spiritual father, like a natural father or a natural mother, you care more about your children's future than their present. You care more about their present pushback, or you don't care so much if they're happy or unhappy. At the moment, you're more concerned about where they'll be in 5 years or 10 years. And so today, if you'll permit me as your pastor, I want to share my heart with you as a father, a spiritual father. There's several things we'll be doing in these next 3 weeks coming that are going to literally speak to you from that perspective that truly can rescue you from a direction that could absolutely devastate your life. The reality of it is that a father is not really interested in people liking them and their family as much as laying down their life for them, making sure their tomorrow is better than their today and better than the father's present day. And so it's my heart's desire to do that today. Here's the reality. The world we're living in today is so desperately broken in ways that I've not seen in my lifetime. And they're waiting to be rescued. They are people that God wants to rescue. They're not an enemy. They're not against me. That they need to be rescued. And the fact of it is, Jesus and you, if you're a child of God, Jesus and you, Cranberry, Newcastle, Meadville, God's people, Jesus and you, listen, you are the only hope of this world. The only hope. The only hope. And if we don't rise up in this hour, which is so desperate, and be the hands and feet of Jesus truly, and not get caught up in the language of hell, in being deceived. If we don't rise up, our nation, our world is in a free fall. And by the way, people are like, oh, everything's going to go bad. Everything's bad. Listen, God hasn't lost his power. God's people have lost their focus. And I want to help you not to get trapped today. I want to shepherd you and pastor you as a spiritual dad the best I know how. So the first thing to help all of us, and I'm including myself, in not listening to the language of Satan, the language of hell, which is deception, is number one this: you must not be ignorant of Satan's devices. You can't be ignorant of Satan's devices. And yet I see a great ignorance about the tools that he uses to deceive today. And listen to what Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, which was trapped in division. In 2 Corinthians 2:11, he said, "Lest Satan should take advantage of us and gain ground in our lives. For we are not ignorant of his devices, as they are not unknown to us." So you see, when you're ignorant of Satan's devices, you'll actually accept an enemy as a friend. You'll actually accept an attitude that is literally out of the pit of hell, and you'll embrace it as your friend. You see, literally, he said, we're not ignorant of his devices. But when you are ignorant of his devices, he takes advantage of you. He gains ground in your life, and he begins to use you as literally an instrument of hell. And so I want to help you not to accept this enemy as your friend, because Jesus said Satan has in his kingdom has three simple things that he desires to do in any interaction with humanity: to steal, to kill, to destroy, period. And he doesn't want any of us to fall prey to that kingdom. And that kingdom's not powerful. It's the kingdom of darkness. And all darkness is the absence of light. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. The only hope for the dark is that the light shows up. And you, Jesus said, he is the light of the world. But then he turned to his people and said, you are the light of the world. You see, anybody here crazy about telemarketers? Yeah, me either. That drives you crazy. Every third call is somebody selling you or somebody trying to put you in prison. And so now the telemarketers that call selling stuff, I'm polite to them, and because they're trying to make a living. But the ones who, usually it's a foreign accent, and I'm not, you know, and I do foreign accents, but you're not allowed anymore because it's politically incorrect because the world has lost its mind. But that's another story. But it's usually a foreign accent that says you owe the IRS money. There's an arrest warrant for you. We're coming to your house to arrest you unless you give us money. Now, when I get that call, and I, you know, like you, I'm pretty busy, but when I have a moment and I see a phone number that I think might be one of those people, I get a little happy inside. Because I grew up with four brothers, man. Torturing each other was a gift. And so I'm like, oh. And so I usually answer it with an accent. And whatever one, no, I do, because if I, because they, I'm sorry. But I'll just use the one that is politically correct for me that I use often is an Italian accent, a Southern Italian American accent, not Northern Italian. They get offended by this accent too because they said, that's not how we talk. Well, I'm from the South. And so I'll answer the phone, and it's a lovely thing when I catch them. And because I'll say, hello. And then it's usually maybe somebody from India or somewhere in South America or in maybe Malaysia or Philippines, and they start by saying, now my Indian accent, if you're Indian, please forgive me. I have an Indian accent that I learned in South Africa from Indians that live in South Africa. It's the largest population of Indians in the world other than India, South Africa. And so they speak differently when they speak English. And so it's usually something along this line. You have done some very, very bad. You have not paid your taxes. We're coming to arrest you and coming now to put you in the prisons. And so at this moment, I'm just thinking, ah. You see, if you're ignorant of their devices, they will steal your money. They will steal your identity. And that's exactly what Satan will do when you're ignorant of his device. He'll steal what's precious from you. And so I say, oh, no, no put me jail. I don't want to go jail. Ten a year, I no pay my tax. I know someday you're going to get. And you know the guy on the other line's just kidding. Oh, I got a fish, baby. And I'm like, I say, a 10 a year, I no pay no tax. And I said, someday they come again. And the day that I'm going to give you your money, how I give you my money? And you know the guy just starts to shake inside. Oh. And then he starts asking me for personal information, and then it gets fun. And you know, he'll ask me for my social security. I can't give you no social security, but I can give you my money. How I give you my money? Because all you have to do is keep them on the line. Just tell them you'll get the money. He's sending me to, you know, Walmart or Target to go get gift cards or whatever he's telling me to do. I go, I'm going to do. No putting me in jail. No come in my house arrest. And then if I can do it for 10 minutes, just over. And they're starting to get angry. And they start to, no, you don't understand. And eventually I just change the subject. And I say, how come you're not taking me, giving me an invitation to the banquet you have? What banquet? I'm not talking about banquet. I'm screaming. I go, why are you mad at me? I'm going to give you my money, but you're not going to let me come into the banquet. What are you talking about? And I'm screaming, and inside I'm just going, oh, thank you, Jesus. This is so much fun. And they always, when they finish doing what I do, they usually curse at you and hang up on you, which you said, does that offend you? It makes me happy. And so I end up by usually something like this. Can you give me 5 minutes before I give you my money to go outside and wash my kangaroo? And then they start cussing at you and they hang up. Why don't I give them my money? Because I'm not ignorant of their devices. So that's not very nice. Yeah, I don't care. It's fun. And they're stealing from people that are ignorant of their devices. So I figure if I have time and I can keep you on the phone for 15 minutes and have a good time, it was a win-win. Just for fun. Now, and by the way, if that Indian accent offended you, I'm sorry. It's a South African Indian accent. So please forgive me, because I know in the world in which we live, that's what's really important. People are out of their mind. Not that that shouldn't offend you. It shouldn't, though. You need to wake up and Jesus, help us to fight the right battles. And I'm going to show you why people are fighting the wrong battles today, because there is an enemy has the language of hell is to deceive people. And when you understand this simple principle, that Satan desires to simply take advantage of us, gain ground in our lives, and then use us as his ambassadors to fulfill his purpose in the earth, I pray God gives every one of us a heart of repentance today. Some of the things I may say, if you're under 30, you're going to have to listen closely. If you're over 30, you may be happy for a moment until I really look at how this affects all of us. And I'm not saying you, I'm saying us. Because the enemy's attack, his devices, he said, don't be ignorant of them. I want to talk to you about the main device that he uses and the one that is pervasive in the world today. And it's the division device. The division device, and it's from the pit of hell. And it literally is Satan's nuclear bomb. And when it seeps over a nation or a people, it has fallout. And like nuclear fallout, if you live through it, can affect future generations, so does the division device. Most empires and great nations of world history last under 300 years. And this is the reason they die from within, and division kills them. Because Jesus told us, and this is an immutable truth because Jesus said it, immutable meaning unchangeable. He said, a kingdom divided against itself, listen now, cannot stand. It's impossible. And we are now living in a nation that is divided against itself. And worse yet, the people called to rescue those trapped are divided as well. And Satan has taken advantage of people and he has trapped them. It's so important that we understand that the division device, don't be ignorant of it. And I can tell you by just my observation and the temptations of my own life that this device has been employed in a way I've never seen before. Listen to what Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, which was a church trapped in division. In 1 Corinthians 1 and 10, he said, I'm speaking to you now by the authority of the Lord Jesus, not my opinion. I appeal to all of you, my friends, to agree in what you say so that there will be no divisions among you. Zero, none, nada, no divisions among you. Be completely united. Say out loud, completely united. Well, people say, well, you can't be completely united. You're right, unless you understand what he's saying. He said, but be completely united with only one thought and one purpose. Until we as Christians have one thought that God has for us and one purpose that God has for us, which is reaching people without Christ. Until that is your first thought, your first purpose, until that one thought governs your life, then there will be division among us. And you say, well, my issue is right. I'm telling you, I have a righteous issue. God bless you. But it's still not the issue God said to put first. Listen to what he said now. Be completely united with only one thought and one purpose. For some people from Chloe's family have told me quite plainly that there are quarrels, divisions, and arguments among you. Let me put it this way. Each one of you says something different. Each one of you says something different. Each one of you is bought into something different rather than the one purpose. One says, I follow Paul. One says, I follow Apollos. One says, I follow Peter. Another says, I follow Christ. And then he asks this simple question, is Christ divided? And the answer should be no. He said, was it me, Paul, who died on the cross for you? Were you baptized to be my disciple in my name? No. He said, why are you talking about me? Why are you making your thoughts filled with what I said or what Apollos said or what Peter said? Why are you dividing Christ's body? Here's the reality today. And I want you to hear, please take heed how you hear this. We're living in an hour today where Christians have been deceived and embraced division as a virtue. It is a device of hell itself. It is from the arsenal of hell to destroy a people, destroy a nation. Anywhere division rules, Jesus said the house will fall. Marriage, home, church, nation, world, it doesn't matter. And yet today, Christians are being deceived. I understand those who don't know Christ. Christians are being deceived, and they're embracing division actually as a virtue. How do you know that? Well, just look at what they post. Okay, we'll stop there for a minute. Okay, and here's the deal. So-called leaders today are fostering division with no intent to bring solutions. And it's only to gain power over people and to become the lords of their life. Well, those horrible words, those people, remember, the Bible said your battle is not flesh and blood. It is not people in bodies and skin. It is, there are two kingdoms, the scripture said. We war against, our battle is against the unseen kingdom of darkness, of which Jesus conquered. And he said, you don't battle against flesh and blood. People are never going to be your enemy. And when they're your enemy, you are done. You have bought into the device of division. Every human being on this earth without Christ is your mission field, not your enemy. And today, Christians have owned division like it's a virtue. Divisive leaders address issues with blame. Let me say that again. Divisive leaders of the... You say, well, are you saying they're demon-possessed? No, I'm telling you, there are only two kingdoms in the world. One inspires one behavior. The other inspires the other. Whichever behavior you yield to is the kingdom that you will expand. Divisive leaders take issues and tell you who's to blame for it with no intent of getting you out of the prison. Jesus sets people free from the issue, no matter who's to blame. And so in our world today, the reason division has become so pronounced is that everybody finds someone to blame. And now people, I think it's become almost an occupation to discover where you've been a victim. I can't tell you how many Christians, they bought into this and this is unfair and I don't think, and this wasn't right. And shut up. Did Jesus not tell you in the world you're going to have trouble? Well, until everything's fair, I'm just going to stay home and not do anything. And then you're the one that gets sunk. Are you saying, Pastor, that there are people to blame that do wrong things? Of course I'm not. Of course people do that. Am I saying that there aren't righteous causes? Of course there are. But when you approach these issues from the spirit of this world, you're done. And Christians have bought into divisiveness, and they've made it the virtue today. And it's dangerous because Satan divides, Jesus rescues. Satan divides, Jesus rescues. I'm going to get into something specific here in a minute. And here's a question Paul asked. Did any of us die on a cross for your sins? Is there any movement of which the leader or even the subject of the movement, did any of those people come as the sinless, spotless Christ and die for you? The answer is no. Every leader of every movement, if they are even righteous in the way they do it, are trying to fix something that impacts them. Jesus came when his sin did not impact him. It impacted me. It's very clear in the scripture that why would any other person, any other issue, any other group capture my heart as a Christian when Christ died for me? The only way that would happen if I'm deceived. Whether your righteous issue or stance, this is so important, whenever your righteous issue, and you can have a righteous issue, or your righteous stance, when it divides you from laying down your lives for either God's people or people without Christ, you've been taken captive by Satan to do his will. Period. I don't care how righteous you think you are. I'm right, I'm dead right, and you're still dead. Because the kingdom of darkness does three things, steal, kill, destroy. You are going to propagate death instead of life. And I ask this question of myself, and I ask it of you. Where do I get the pride to think that my silly, nonsensical opinion and words are going to change the broken lives of people? I'm sitting with the arsenal of a Savior, and I've been called in His body and given the tools and the devices to bring a rescuer to a generation. And I'm going to do something else as a Christian. Something else comes first. When anything comes first before the kingdom of God, we have been deceived. And it's my hope is that you will not be taken advantage of, that the telemarketer of hell doesn't convince you to give him your account number. And that's what's happening right now today to Christians at levels that are almost hard to imagine. Paul wrote to a pastor named Timothy, and he commended and commanded him some things. He said, Timothy, he said, there are going to be people around you trapped in darkness, trapped in divisiveness, in bitterness, in arguments and strife. He said, you've got to step back from that and be patient and teach them and seek my face so that they can be recovered. Not opinions changed, recovered. Listen to what he wrote to Timothy. 2 Timothy 2:26. He said, and they, he's writing to a pastor, and they, those trapped in strife and division, they, those trapped in strife and division, may come to their senses and escape the trap of the devil, who, now, listen, having been taken captive by him to do his will. I would say for any committed Christian, the last thing you'd ever want in your life is to be taken captive by the one who seeks to kill, steal, and destroy, but then taken captive and now an instrument and an ambassador of hell. And he said, Timothy, you're going to have to pray that they have a spirit of repentance and they come to their senses. They wake up because they're in a trap and they need to escape. Traps are not obvious. That's why they trap us. Deception is not obvious. That's why we get deceived. And a spirit of deception is sweeping the earth where so-called leaders that don't give a whit about people, but they care about power. How do I know? Because all they're doing is being divisive. All they're doing is telling you who to blame, and they are bringing zero solutions because they don't care about people, because the one of whom, which kingdom they represent hates you, hates every human being. And Christians are buying into that nonsense. It's critically important that we understand that there is a trap that's been set. And I have seen so many of God's precious people fall into it. And I would suggest that virtually everybody has been tempted to fall into this trap. Because here's the fact. Whenever you are more connected or committed to your group than the death of Jesus, you've been taken captive by the enemy's deception to do his will. What has been elevated in my heart above the one mission and purpose as my life as a Christian? Well, you know, COVID's resurging and people are wanting to do masks, and we need to fight about the mask. You can have an opinion about it. You may be right. But is that really what you're called to be an ambassador for first? This is so very, very important, because today we are exalting political and social issues above God. Christians are taking political and social issues and making those issues above the one thing that we're called to do, and we are actually being used to divide. Many Christians today have found a greater passion for their issues than reaching those without Christ. Now, let me just pivot for a second and talk to you about the difference between political and social justice and biblical justice. They are completely different, utterly different. I'm not suggesting that certain political views or certain social views do not have absolutely correct issues at hand that need to be resolved. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm watching a generation of Christians more committed to social justice than winning lost people. The greatest injustice a Christian will ever do to a human being is to have their opinion change and they die and go to hell. The greatest injustice I can be as a Christian is to forget that I was trapped in darkness and I was saved by a Savior. I didn't do it on my own. My opinions, if they are right, it's because He's made me in His image and He's rescued me. But my opinions didn't save me. The greatest injustice that this world will ever know are Christians who have been silent about eternity. That our words and our posts and our thoughts, if you were to go back over the last 18 months, how many of your words, how many of your interactions, how many of your influences, even with people that don't know Christ, have had anything to do with winning them to Jesus? And helping them to escape an eternity without God. I'm hearing Christians that are actually almost happy if people who oppose them go to hell. Well, you talk about deception. It's a very, very, very important thing. Christians giving their alliances to social justice leaders who despise the kingdom of God because you agree on the issue. They'll never solve the issue because hell ain't making it better. And I won't make it better when I yield to it. This is so, so very important. Now remember this. 10 billion years from now, there will be only two institutions in which God has placed his eternal approval. Two. Only two. And it's the family, that is mom, dad, and kids, and the church. 10 billion years from now, those two institutions will still reign supreme even in heaven. And isn't it interesting that Christians are aligning themselves with organizations that hate both? Because that issue has superseded the greater issue of eternity for people. Placing your issues above the eternal lives of people and those without Jesus, please understand this. It is the greatest injustice that we can perpetrate on people. Because if I change your view and I don't care about where you spend forever, can you see the level of deception that many of all of God's people have been tempted to? And some have been so tempted, I mean, hook, line, sinker, fisherman, his boots, and the boat. And they are literally fighting for their division. These are dangerous things that are happening. And like nuclear fallout, they just don't ruin you. They will ruin your family, and they will ruin your ability to be an ambassador for Christ. Because remember this, whatever issue, whatever person is first place in my life, more than him, that person has become my Lord. That issue has become my Lord. That's why people that are trapped in divisiveness give their allegiance to their issue before their Savior. So the question to ask as I wind this down today, as we now, in a moment, I'm going to give us all the opportunity to get before the presence of God and let him deal with our hearts. And then that's why we reordered the service to have more time at the end to truly worship God and let him do what only God can do in my life. Because the scripture said we have to be truly liberated from this trap. When you read it in the scripture, he said they've got to be liberated from the trap of the enemy. They've got to escape it. It's my job to, number one, escape myself, but to lead you so that you aren't ignorant of his devices. Because it feels right doesn't make it right. Don't buy the lie of a generation that how you feel is who you are. It's a lie. As a believer, you are who God says you are. You possess what God says you possess. You're called to do what God said you were called to do. You are the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. You are not a victim in this world. You are an overcomer in him. No matter who did what to you, no one is the Lord of your life, including your circumstances. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And that position is not for my benefit alone, but to go back into the world that's trapped and lay down my life for the very ones that may oppose me, hate me, and persecute me. This coming generation must be aware that all that the scripture said, all that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Well, I'm not being persecuted. You're not living godly. If you have to hide the truth from people you think you care about and you lie to them about their eternity, you don't love them, you love you. You love their opinion of you. And I want to encourage you, this is a simple, not simple, yet it is a profound and a pervasive temptation and device that is being swept across the Christian world. So the question I ask is, who am I being an ambassador for today? Are you being an ambassador for, like they were in Paul's day, for a certain religious point of view? Apollos, Paul, Peter, is that your guilt? Is that your deal? I don't like the music. Change the music, Pastor. You know how many times people have asked me, I just want you to know I like Victory, but the music just isn't my cup. I don't like the music. And I've, the older you get, I lose my filter. You know old people, they'll look at you and say, hey, you're fat. I don't have words to tell you how little I care if you like the music. I don't care if you're a Christian. I don't care. You mean you don't care what I like? Let me say it again. No. Why? Because I bury children who kill themselves. And you want to talk to me about a song? Are you out of your mind? Are you out of your mind? That's what you want. That's what you want to be an ambassador for? Well, I don't like the lights. Well, whoop-de-doo. Are you kidding me? I don't care what you like, and I don't care if you're happy. I'm not happy with that. I don't care. I don't care. He said, why would you talk that way? That's what I told my kids. I don't want to do that. I said, your mother cares if you're happy, not me. Why? Because the reality of it is, my feelings are hurt. Well, get over it. Because this world, Jesus said, you're going to have trouble and you're going to have evil. Don't let those people own you. Are you kidding me? Stop being bought into the victim nonsense as Christians. And finding the worst thing that says, oh, everybody's... Yeah, maybe people are against you. But God before you, who can be against you? The scripture said, walk with God in a present dark age. And be an ambassador for him. Are you an ambassador for the Republicans or the Democrats? Are you an... Is that first? Are you a mask ambassador? How many people want to talk? I just want to, you need to talk about masks. Come here. Are you out of your mind? I don't give a flip about your mask. Stand before God and say, Lord, I gave my life for a piece of cloth. Are you out of your mind? The world, one part of the body of Christ is trying to have people that don't know God love them and pretending that everything's okay and everything's fine and we're just going to pretend with you because I don't want to offend you and I don't want you not to like me. And the other ones are fighting over stupid. Bless God, I'm right about this and you need to join my club. No, I can get stupid without help. Anybody got their own stupid to deal with? I don't need help. Good Lord. I just want you to know you just offended me. I don't care. Why? Because I'm a father. I care about your tomorrow, not the trap of today. And I will give my life and give you liking me or hating me for the fact of getting you out of this trap. And it's not happening to one or two people. It's happening across the board. And we must not be ignorant of his devices. Are you an ambassador for your race? White, Black, Hispanic, Asian, or against a certain race, then you have divided Christ. You're called to be an ambassador for him. And the last thing that I want to talk to you about with our remaining moments before we get in the presence of God and ask him to do something in our souls. Whose kingdom are you building? I must answer that question, and I will answer it when I stand before God. Whose kingdom are you building? Please be aware that virtually everybody alive on planet Earth today, with some exceptions for very young and those who will live to be very old, within the next 80 to 90 years, every human being will be in heaven or hell, period. No matter what they believed, no matter what they did with their mask or their politics, every human being on planet Earth will be in heaven or hell. That is the one purpose for every Christian, because I have been rescued by a Savior. And for anything to come before that, I have been owned and trapped and literally taken advantage of by an enemy that will use me to steal, kill, and destroy. I must first be about my Father's kingdom first. Everyone say first. Then you can address the issues of the day, but do it with kingdom principles. It's fine to address the issues of the day. In fact, some of us are called of God to address issues of the day. Economic disparity, racism, whatever. God may call you to go into that. You may be called to go into the world of politics. That's fine. But you must do it from a kingdom platform and not the kingdom of this world platform. Because the scripture said the wisdom of God is easily entreated. It is powerful, but the wisdom of this world is earthly, sensual, and devilish. And it will kill you. So it's fine to actually even be called to certain issues, but you must do it from the kingdom. And there is one kingdom principle that if you don't have in your soul, you will never be an ambassador for Christ and you will never, ever address any issues to please God or to be a part of his kingdom. You will be used of hell to the day you die. And it is a very simple principle. And this one scripture precedes the instruction in the Bible of that one purpose of winning people to Christ. Let me read it to you. This is the kingdom principle, that if I don't let this rule my heart and my life, I am by design deceived. This will prove for me to be having a life that will bring no value eternally to people. And here's the principle. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 16, he said this, from now on, We will no longer know any man according to his flesh or his body. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human or bodily point of view. How differently we know him now. I don't know if you're like me. When I think of Jesus, don't you think of him in that human body? I do. The pictures you've seen of Jesus or whatever. Not the ones where he's Swedish. I'm talking about the ones where he looks Middle Eastern. It's like, yeah, that's, you know, what color was Jesus? What a stupid question. Because it doesn't matter. I can promise you, he wasn't Swedish. He was in the Middle East. But it doesn't matter. He had brown skin. Oh, what's that mean? It doesn't mean anything. It was skin. He said, if you're going to walk with me, you must stop no longer seeing people according to their outer appearance. Does that mean that racial disparity shouldn't be addressed and is inequity? That's what I said. But as a Christian, when you see people, whether it's racial, whether it's, oh, they're of this, they're the LGBTQ and whatever letters they've added recently. Jesus died for the people in those letters. Jesus died for the people in those letters. Do I love them and am I willing to serve and lay down my life to bring the gospel to them? Whatever they do with it, I pray it's between them and Jesus. But I will not hold the gospel back from anybody. Because the only difference between me and anybody without God is Jesus. And my calling and your calling is to be about the kingdom principle. And it's very, very simple, guys. It's very simple. You'll never be an ambassador when you see people according to their flesh. And if you see people according to their flesh, you've been divided. You're a Democrat or a Republican more than a Christian. You're black, white, Hispanic, Asian, whatever, more than you are a Christian. And you will divide into those groups and you will talk together in whatever group that is against other people, in the church and out of the church. And you will think it is a virtue because, bless God, we're right. We are right. And I don't care how right I think I am or you are deceived. And that deception will kill you, will steal your purpose, and will make you an instrument of hell. I'm commanded to no longer know any man after the flesh. For in Christ Jesus, there is only a new creation, the scripture said. There's not male or female, bond or free, Jew or Greek, black or white, red, brown, purple, but a new creation. That doesn't mean these other issues and these other diversities are not in the wonderful tapestry of God. I'm telling you, you can't see it first that way. And when you do, you're done. I don't care what your issue is and how righteous it might be. So after he commands us of this principle, he now says the very next thing, which is the one purpose of every Christian. And I would submit to you, for so many of God's precious people, this one thing has been forgotten. And it is the only thing that will matter in 100 years. The only thing. And I pray the enemy doesn't have the opportunity to steal this from you. That the Holy Spirit will give us a heart of repentance today. So that we can recover ourselves out of the trap of the enemy and escape this deception and this device of division. Because it's come against every one of us. And if it's trapped you, it doesn't make you good or bad, it makes you human. But aren't you glad for a God that will rescue you out of the traps of an enemy? I'm so grateful for his kindness. So after he commands no longer see people according to their flesh, listen to the next thing he says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. For when someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. He's not the same anymore. A new life has begun. If any man is in Christ, he becomes a new creation. He said, that's what I want you to see, the inside. Because the skin they live in is only a house of which they can make a decision that will matter heaven or hell. And he said, for anyone who comes to Christ becomes brand new. Verse 18, he said, and all these things that have become brand new are from God himself, who brought us back to himself, who brought him back to himself through what Christ Jesus did, not what I did. And then God has given us the privilege. Say out loud, the privilege. This is the privilege and calling of every believer. And until this is first in my life, I am in the throes of deception. He has given us the privilege of urging everyone to come into his favor and be reconciled to God. For God was in Christ, restoring the world to himself and no longer counting men's sins against them, but blotting them out. Now listen, this is the wonderful message he's given us to tell others. And we are Christ ambassadors. That's what your first job that you will account to God for will be. What did I do with the message of reconciliation? So many Christians don't even know how to tell someone about Jesus. What do I tell them? It's simple. It's very simple. God's not holding your past against you. He's made a way for for every sin you've ever committed against him to be forgiven and cleansed. The Son of God, sinless, died on a cross and bore your punishment. And if you receive him into your life and walk with him, he'll wipe that away, make you brand new, and you'll become a new person without a past. And when you die, you'll be heaven bound. What do I have to do? Receive him and live for him, walk with him. Well, what do I have, hoop do I have to jump through? He did all the hoops. Instead of telling people, change this, change that, you better stop this, stop that. How about we get them out of darkness and bring them into light? You don't clean fish until you catch them. And I can tell you this, only by the mercy of God am I not just a messed up addict for the rest of my life, because he rescued me. And not only did he rescue me, somebody had their eye on the ball and they weren't involved in 50 different issues first, and they came and brought Jesus to me. And because of that fact that they were an ambassador for Christ, I am now heaven bound. And I'm so grateful, not just to God, but to that person and the persons who led them to Christ. Who will thank God for you in eternity? And what will you say when you stand before a living God and been an ambassador first for anything else? I want to spare you that day. For we are Christ's ambassadors, and God is using us to speak to you. Now we beg you, this is the pleading of every Christian, not beg you to be a Republican, Democrat, this issue. We beg you as though Christ himself were here pleading with you. Receive the love he offers and be reconciled to God. For God himself took the sinless Christ and he poured into him my sins and your sins. Then in exchange, he gave us his righteousness. That's the gospel. That's your message. And I want to ask you today, would you bow your heads with me? I don't know if this last 18 months or so, you've had the same temptations of everyone else on the planet. And maybe you've been trapped in these temptations and you've become divisive and not even known it. How do I know? Just go back and look at your Facebook. How much of it has anything to do with people coming to know God? How much of it is about your issues, whatever they are? And you might be right, by the way, but it's irrelevant. Because if you change my opinion and I go to hell, what an injustice that you made that more important than my eternal life. Perhaps you find yourself in the throes of this type of divisiveness. Maybe you become angry and bitter. And maybe you're so angry right now. You're like, well, I'm never going to. You can be hardened. You can harden your heart, the scripture said. Or you can humble yourself under the mighty hand of God so that his grace can fall upon you and empower you with divine strength. And I want to ask every person at every campus, Newcastle, Meadville, those online, listen, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you are here today and you would say, you know what? I've fallen into this trap and I want to turn from it. Repentance just simply means to understand. And the scripture said, come to your senses and say, whoa, that's a trap. Thank you, God. And turn from it and walk away from it. Go in a different direction. And you want the help of the Holy Spirit to not only liberate you from the trap, but from the effects of the trap, from the marks of the trap on your legs, and make you fresh and whole and clean inside. The Bible says it this way in the book of James, to cleanse your hands and your heart, because your hands and your heart are the only thing you can affect the world with. And he said, you got to have those cleaned by God. Because you can't, and they get soiled in this earth so easily for all of us. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you are here today, here at Cranberry or our campuses or online, and you say, I want the help of God to get me out of this trap. I want to respond to the Holy Spirit and his power in my life to rescue me so that when I stand before God, that I've been an instrument of righteousness in this earth and not an instrument of hell. So that I will be able to put first what God says is first, and I will be a minister of reconciliation to the sphere of my influence by the grace of God. As imperfect as I am, I will tell the story. Because when you tell people about Jesus, it's not about your perfect or imperfect life, it's about his perfect life. He's so good. So if you're here in any of our locations and you would say, I want to, right now, I know God's dealing with my heart, and I want to just turn from these things, and I want his help, and I want to repent of this deception, and the which is the language of hell, and this device that has gotten a foothold in my life, and I want the help of God by his Spirit to liberate me today. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. We've all been tempted. We've all probably succumbed at some level to this. But if you want the help of God and you want to live in this freedom, then ask Him. That's why we come to church, not to have some program, but for God to show up in my life and your life to set people free. So if you're here at any of our locations and you say, I desire to be free of that today in my life, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, would you just lift your hand up high as to God, not to men, but between you and God. Say, I want to be made free. I want to be made free. In a moment, I'm going to lead you in a prayer of repentance. And as we do this, I'm going to invite you. We're going to stand in just a moment to worship at all of our campuses. And when we do, if you raised your hand or should have, I'm going to ask you as an act of faith, as moving as it were as to an altar, just to get out of your seat and come to the front and worship together as God's people as one. Nothing magical about the front of a church, but you make steps toward God. Make a physical step and say, I'm leaving this place and physically going to another in you, God, and I repent. So let me pray over your life for everyone at all of our campuses and those here at Cranberry. Let me pray over your life right now for all of us and a spirit of repentance. Father, in the name of Jesus, for those who raised their hand and those that right now know they should have, I ask you, Father, to help us with the power and help of the Holy Spirit to turn and to repent of these lies of the enemy that have trapped us. And forgive us for exalting any message, any issue above your sacrifice. Forgive us for the unforgiveness and strife and bitterness that may have poured out of our words. Forgive us for laying aside your love for lost people and exchanging it for the enemy's purpose of division in our lives. I consecrate today, I dedicate before you, my God, to love and to reach those in my sphere of influence for Jesus. Help me to love as you love. Help me to see every person, no matter their portion in life, no matter their station in life, no matter what may be trapping them or binding them, that I see them as my mission field of which I should lay my life down for, whether they love me or hate me, whether they persecute me, whether they harm me. But let Father God help me to see that that's my call as a Christian, to lay down my life for what you gave your life for. Help us to love those that the enemy is teaching us to hate and despise. They are not our enemy, Jesus. They are our mission field. At all of our campuses, let's stand together now and let's worship God. And as we worship at all of our campuses, you come forward if you prayed with me today and receive that. And as we worship together, let's just worship and get in the presence of God and let the Holy Spirit do something great in your life. Come on, let's worship together.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from Victory Family Church. If you enjoyed listening, please take a moment to rate, review, and share. For more resources, including locations and service times, please visit lifeatvictory.com.